Blog Talk Radio.
I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio Graves, and this week I'm calling to you live from Clarksboro, New Jersey, just outside of Philadelphia, where I've been at JV Alert Live for the last couple of days. And I've got with me today my co-host and good friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the Story Lady. Welcome, Miss Rhonda.
Hi there.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. We finally are seeing this unusual orange ball in the sky. We haven't seen it in like a week, so it's just a beautiful thing.
I can't say the same for a nice Philadelphia. It is pouring down rain. It is cold. I actually have my heater on. And it is making
wow.
me ever so long, my beach in Florida.
I can imagine. So what fabulous things happened at JV Alert?
Oh, my goodness. What didn't happen at JV Alert? It was a very different JV Alert this time. It was very unusual. We did not have the normal people that you expect to see at JV Alert. There were a couple of people that are at a lot of them, like Joel Kahn, like my good friends Doug and Terry Champagnier. Who else? John Ritzkowitz comes to the Philly one, but not to any of the others. Robert Putty was there, and he's not even usually a regular, but he was there. And that was about it. And everybody else was pretty much new faces. But just like all other JV Alerts, the one thing that really sets JV Alert Live apart from all of the other events is the people are really like-minded people who are really willing to go overboard to support one another in what they're trying to do. And we had a lot of that again this weekend, just like we do at every single other JV Alert Live. So the students that I brought with me got a lot out of the weekend just because of that. They all said, holy cow, I've never seen a group so willing to work with you and help you and whatnot. And it really gave them a very different perspective about building their business, which was really good to see.
Good.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So how was your weekend?
My weekend was really good. I was at home this weekend, and boy, I've been working with my dreams lately, remembering them, and but I had some odd ones and some really fun ones lately. I'll tell you what, that's been quite interesting through the School of Metaphysics. I'm in their dreamschool.org program, and that's been quite interesting, and I had a good friend over for impromptu. He came by to pick up some eggs, and I said, well, I'm about to make dinner. Why don't you stay? So we had a nice visit, and he is a musician, and he is someone who's writing a book. His name is Bob Alder. And so that was really enjoyable to just be with a friend and be back home and getting a whole bunch of awesome things ready to rock out here over the next weeks.
Well, fantastic. And do we have a guest with us today, Miss Rhonda?
We have a guest. Let me see if she has joined us yet. She'll be in
I'm
a moment.
I'm not her in the switchboard yet. So
I'm not either. So, but we do have our guest planned for today. So one second here. Let me... what we're going to be talking about today is really about your mindset around money and prosperity. And because this is something that hangs people up a lot, that's why Sorry, I'm trying to also type a message to her real quick, and I'm having a hard time doing that and talking at the same time.
I know. I have the same trouble when I try to talk. I can't type and talk. I don't know why.
When I was teaching, I could never write on the blackboard and speak. Otherwise, I would invent new words that had never been seen in English or any other language. But in any case, since money issues really get to people, and people get into a place of a poverty mindset so easily. And I remember talking with somebody who supposedly had fairly recently made a whole bunch of money, and the sense of poverty, I mean, I could just about smell it on him. It was such a feeling of poverty and lack. And that really tends to catch people up quite a bit.
It really does. Really, really does.
Yep. So that's why. And then Nan is somebody that, Nan Akasha is our guest today. And she is somebody that I was one of the people who did a little bit of promotion for her book launch. And her book just last week won bestseller. So that's, of course, quite exciting to have, you know, have a book go to a bestseller. And that book is in our show notes, and it's called Already Rich: Secrets to Mastering Your Money Mind. So this is going to be a great topic. And while we're getting her, and who knows, she may be having issues getting in, because I know occasionally technical issues do happen with us. So, but while she is coming in, what have you noticed, Gina, in your own changes in prosperity? I mean, what really launched you is one of the things was financial desperation to pay off huge medical bills.
Yeah, absolutely. And back then, as these bills were mounting and mounting some more, and the mountains of bills were getting higher and higher, I was constantly robbing Peter to pay Paul. It wasn't unusual for me to double check my checkbook and my PayPal balance 3, 4, 5 times a day sometimes, just to see, did anything else come in so that I could eat tonight, or did anything else come in so I could get that prescription picked up today. What happens is,
right,
the more I checked, the less money came in, and the harder it was to actually bring it in. One of the biggest changes that happened when I went through what I call my miraculous transformation, and I say changes instead of shifts because it really was a really huge thing in a very positive way. I had to force myself to stop looking at the balances. Instead, I had to totally immerse myself in a belief that as long as I was doing the right things, as long as I had a positive attitude, a positive lifestyle, positive actions, and I was really going out serving people to the best of my ability, that the money would follow. And that there would always be enough money. Ever since that point in time, almost 5 years ago, on the very rare occasions where I have looked at a balance for one reason or another, and I bet I could count them on one hand, that's how infrequently I've done that in the last 5 years. Every time I've looked at the balance, money slowed up for a couple of days to a week. The minute I went back to trusting, believing, and knowing that the money was there, even though it wasn't necessarily there that second, knowing that it was there, every single time I ever needed it, it just magically appeared. And it's a really powerful mindset to get into that can really make all the difference in the world in seeing the success that you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be a tough transition for people to make, a tough transformation for people to make, because there are so many messages that we get about money, and something that should just be a pure energy exchange can end up getting a whole bunch of emotional baggage around it. It's as if when it comes to money, that everybody has 5 or 6 steamer trunks full of all kinds of stuff and beliefs about money. And what's really interesting is John Heritron is sending out over the course of about 10 days several different videos that are all about her having a new way of being. And the one that came out the other day was really cool because it had to do with belief. And his partner, Casper, had people write down a whole list of up to 20 of your beliefs that you have that you think are absolutely true. And it was just, first of all, you know, this is how it is, and writing those statements that way. Like it could be money doesn't grow on trees or something like that. Maybe that was somebody's statement. And then switching it around to saying each of them out loud and saying, I believe. Because when you're just saying it's a belief, that means it can change. And a lot of times when you look at it and say, well, I believe whatever, and you can look at it and say it out loud and go, no, I don't choose to believe that anymore. I choose to believe something different. So that was a tremendous activity that they had in that particular program with the video, and I like how they actually had activities that you can do. But that one was very good because I think it really can give people a shift of awareness of what's happening in your mind and in your life. And a lot of times it's just putting the light of day on and shining a light on it, so to speak. You can go, well, that's flat out ridiculous. I don't need to believe that. I don't need to hold that. And then you can say, no, I don't believe that anymore. Now, instead, what I know to be true is that everything in the universe is conspiring to take care of my every need and desire.
Yeah. And I think that's such a big thing that you just brought up. For so many people who are in between jobs, who are trying to start a business because they can't find a job, who just keep finding themselves going more in debt because they're using their credit cards and whatnot, and they're not really seeing any results. Usually, the reason that they're stuck there is because of those beliefs that they've got activated within them that are being left unaddressed. And until they do address them, moving forward to the point of getting results, especially getting results that you really, really dream about, is just not going to happen very quickly.
Uh-huh.
So how can someone identify those beliefs, Rhonda?
Well, I think a lot of it just really can start. In fact, if you go over to asktsl.com/John H, ask T as in the, S as in story, L as in lady.com/John H, and you can see the videos that I mentioned. But I really like that activity of first writing down 20 statements that you really feel are absolutely true about your life. There's just no question, whatever those things may be, whether it's about your finances, your health, your relationships, it'll probably be some of all of those kinds of things that would be in there. And in just writing them down at first and taking a few minutes to do that, that's going to be a good start. And then go back and find the ones that seem to have the biggest emotional charge and kind of putting a star by those. Those are the ones where you really have invested and continue to invest plenty of emotional energy. And the thing is that when you're imagining or catastrophizing in your mind what could go wrong, or imagining all these scenarios of why you don't deserve something or why you don't have something, all that's doing is just more deeply entrenching and entraining all of that into your mind and into your spirit. And the thing is that your mind just doesn't really know the difference between what you're putting into it by your imagination and what may be really happening. It just really doesn't see the difference. So if you want to continue to play brain TV of the 150 million reasons why I'll never have a job, or why I'll never get my business off and running, or why I'll never have enough money, or whatever, if you keep doing that, it's just inviting more of the same, simply because your brain is, it's going to go, oh, you want me to show you more of that? Okay, I'll show you more of that. And it will point out to you things because of what's called the reticular activating system in your brain. It'll just show you more of the same kinds of yuck that you're wanting to get away from and get rid of. So, you know, so that's really what tends to get in the way. So writing down these things that you believe to be true about your life, or these things that you for sure know are true about your life and in your own mind, and finding those emotionally charged ones to work with first, and writing down and saying out loud, well, I believe such and so. And when you believe it, that means it it puts it into the point of, well, this is something that can be changed. And it's good to work with that. And I don't feel like you have to go dig through your whole life and go why it was all there or whatever, but just simply making that decision that I'm choosing to change that. There is no reason that it's just I believe that doesn't mean that it's absolutely true. So what if it were different? Look for evidence of something that's positive and uplifting. So like with you, when you were looking at your bank account going, oh my gosh, I hope my balance didn't go down. What if I don't have enough money? So you decided to, well, what if I were to just simply trust and know that I'm doing the right actions, I'm doing things that are producing income and prosperity, so it's going to be there, and I am trusting that it's there. And sure enough, the more that you trusted that it's there, it's there.
Well, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. It's just really, and it's like whenever you really needed that extra money to come in for a bill or for whatever, it showed up, right?
You got it. So I'm still not seeing our guest. Have you heard from her yet, Rhonda?
No, I have not. Let me check in the email here and see if anything came by there. I've seen her tweeting it, and she blogged about it. So
it stands right in those two places, because I personally double-checked them.
So let me... Yeah, because I have definitely seen her tweeting and all kinds of good things, so. I had just had an email from her, like, a few minutes before the show, so.
And
hopefully she will pop in here. Okay, I'm having this, typing, talking issue. Sorry about that. Try not to leave dead air for us. Anyway, she is in planning to take us through an experience, which I think will be very cool once we can get all the technology working and get things in place here that she'll join us. So she had on her blog, she has some money affirmations that are pretty interesting, and she had one every day. So in just a second, while you're saying something, I'll run over to her blog and look one of them up. If I try to do that and talk, I won't be able to say much of anything. But she has some interesting things on her blog. She's, you know, doing a lot of different appearances and different things like that. But she has some very good affirmations that you can use to develop a positive mindset around money and be able to master it.
I'm just looking over on her blog, or her website, I should say, to see what I can see, and I'm not seeing a blog for her. Is there one, Linda?
Yeah, there is, and I'm not having my speech program on. I'm not recording.
Yeah, no, that's okay. If you tell me that there is one, I will go search even more.
I know that there is.
I will
and,
find
out. Because I was looking at it yesterday, I commented on it. So I do know that it is absolutely there, because that's where I saw her cool affirmation. So
this other woman that Rhonda and I both know is someone. We had Zena on the show. Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Who's that?
Zena Trainer? Have we done a show with Zena?
Zena Trainer. I thought you said Gina. I'm sorry. Yes, we had Zena Trainer on the show.
I thought we did. Couldn't remember.
Yeah.
I still don't find Nan's blog, but her website is really kind of cool. She has a book called Already Rich Secrets to Master Your Money Mind. And that's
right.
The testimonials on here are just incredible. I mean, holy cow.
Oh, they are.
Get any better testimonials.
Yep. Yeah, they really are. I mean, I looked up all of her. I think she has some pretty amazing people behind her. And so, you know, that part's very cool. And that the book is listed right in our show notes if you want to check it out on Amazon. She said she did get to bestseller. So that's always
and
exciting
her mission,
for her. But,
her mission is to transform the world through wealth consciousness. A wealthy world full of empowered, joyful people with a wealth mindset who know how to tune their wealth vibe to their true inner purpose and live in authentic wealth. And your last comment, really, it was very much in alignment with what Nan is trying to do, to create a whole army of people who know how to tune their wealth vibe to their true inner purpose and live in authentic wealth. On the show, people have heard us talk often about the power of following your passion and using your passion to build a business. To me, this whole idea of a wealth vibe is one that's very much tied to the idea of using your passion to grow your business. If you're really following your passion and not just going into something because somebody told you you could make money with it, it will help a lot in overcoming those underlying beliefs that are activated within you that might otherwise stand in your way for reaching all of your goals. It will help to make it more likely that you can continue to go forward every single day without ever looking at your bank balances, knowing that the money's coming in, because as someone who's passionate, your message almost takes on a level of contagiousness where other people can't wait to hear what you have to offer simply because they're so enamored with your excitement and enthusiasm to start with. Rhonda's someone that this is very much true of. Everywhere I see Rhonda, any event we've ever been to together, Rhonda's always kind of in the center of a group of people who are all listening intently to what she's saying because her passion is like exuding from every pore in her body. You can't help but feel Rhonda's passion for storytelling, just like you can't help but feel my passion for connecting people, for joint ventures, for blogging, because to me that's another way of connecting with people.
Right.
If you can find that one thing that is your ultimate goal and really focus and apply so that everything that you're told to do gets done, in no time flat, you'll actually be getting the kinds of numbers to happen that you're really looking for. And if you really do it right, it's not just going to be about the money, but about a whole lot of other things, too, like a sense of time freedom, like not having to ever worry about how you're going to feed your family or clothe your family or put medicine out for your family. All of those things happen much easier and much faster when you're really following your passion. And I think that's what she's saying here, at least. I haven't read the book, but at least what I'm seeing in the overview, as well as what I'm reading in the testimonial.
And that's why I really loved her passion, and that's really one of the reasons that I was excited to have her as a guest and everything. So, and then she has a site over at Create Your Own Reality Now, and that's where she has her blog. And so that passion is very cool because what she's really doing is giving people the kinds of tools that they're going to use, and that's a passion that she has, is to create that wealth consciousness. Here's one of them, one of the money affirmations. Money is love in action. I appreciate money.
Oh, that's a powerful one. Why don't you reread that one more time?
I'm going to... I'm going to reread that, and then I'm going to give a little teaching on appreciate that word. Money is love in action. I appreciate money. Money is love in action. I appreciate money. And I really enjoyed that as a very powerful affirmation. I think that's one that people could write down all over the place in whatever ways that you normally do that and use it frequently. It's in the post on Create Your Own Reality Now. There's a post that says Spiritual Money Attraction News. Believe it is true for you. And inside of that post, a little ways down, is where you see that particular affirmation. Now, the word appreciate, we often think of it as, you know, that if I appreciate something, I like it, I enjoy it, whatever. But appreciate is an economic term. And to appreciate is to grow. So when you say I appreciate money, that really means that you are growing money.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the word appreciate. When you really look at the meaning of it, we tend to use it just in the sense of I like this. I appreciate you for doing whatever. I appreciate how something looked or how something was, but it's really growing. So when you're appreciating, when you're in that sense, that means that you as an individual are growing. And if you're appreciating money, that money is growing with you.
Well, if we want to look at how other people can use what we're talking about here, what's the first step that they need to take in order to apply what we're sharing with them?
You know, to me, the first thing is to really make some decisions for your life and to get in touch with, when we're talking about money and wealth, it's never about the amount. It's about what you're doing with it and what's important in your life because of it. Wouldn't you say, Gina? It wasn't that you want, it's
absolutely.
Just some people just say, well, I want a lot of money or I want $1 million. What are you going to do with it? Well,
yes.
Know what it is that you're doing with it, right, Gina? Wouldn't you say that? For you, initially, it was, I need X amount because of these medical bills, and there was a very immediate need for that at that time. And, you know, as that disappears and as you move forward, Gina, I know with you, because I know the kind of person you are, that you know specifically when you say that you want X amount of money, it's because I wanted it to accomplish X, Y, and Z in my life and the lives of other people.
Absolutely. It's not just because I want that amount of money for myself. That
right.
amount of money is really going to allow me to do all these other things. And again, I'm very, very specific on what those things are.
Right.
The more specific I am about them, the more I can not just close my eyes and see them, but really use all of my senses to really feel that thing I'm trying to achieve as if it were happening
mm-hmm.
right now in this instance in my mind and in my body as well. If I
mm-hmm.
do that, I almost never, ever, ever fail to manifest the amount that I'm looking for. And in fact, a lot of times, I'll manifest even more. So a silly
right.
little example, but one that's really, really crystal clear. A week ago this Saturday, we were packing up, getting ready to leave from Bonita Springs, Florida, to drive up here to Philadelphia. I had sat down, looked at how much it was going to cost to get us here in terms of fuel and tolls and whatnot, knew exactly how much money I was going to need to make it. So I decided that it would be really neat if I didn't have to use my existing money to do that, but could instead bring in a residual income of that amount so that if I could do things once, the money would keep happening to make sure that all of what I wanted to do would work. So
sure.
I decided to do some visualizations. And in doing those visualizations, I was focused in part on the amount of money and seeing it in my bank account in advance, as well as feeling with all of my senses, so smelling and hearing and touching and tasting, exactly what it was going to be like to go from Bonita Springs up to Philadelphia. Where were the cities going to be that I would pass through? what would it look like to see the sign on the side of the road that says, Bristol, Virginia, this exit, right? So
right.
Every little piece of it I was able to look at and really visualize clearly. Well,
sure.
It would have meant that I would have needed to bring in about $1,800 in addition to what I normally bring in just to make that trip possible. Within 48 hours, I had $1,807 that I did not count on.
Mm.
Just appeared out of nowhere. Wasn't something that was booked before that. In under 48 hours. If
and
I
one
make
thing that's significant.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say one thing that's significant is you were imagining not having that amount as your entire bank balance, but having that as an addition, as if there were an $1,800 deposit made today, and you're seeing plus $1,800 coming in.
And in addition
and
to what would normally come in during that time. So it had
right.
to be an extra something on top of what would already be there, not just an $1,800
right.
bank balance.
Right.
Had I just gone and seen the $1,800 in my bank balance and not really looked at all the other
mm-hmm.
things that that was going to allow me to achieve, probably wouldn't have gotten the $1,800. If I would have looked at it as, okay, let's see how we can make the trip happen and not thought about the $1,800, again, probably wouldn't have allowed the money to come in. But that combination used in visualizations that really get all of your senses involved is just so powerful. It works every single time I do it. It's just
mm-hmm.
a matter of seeing that detail. So when you're first getting started wanting to use this technique, you really need to sit down and figure out in detail what is it that you're trying to achieve. The better job you do in figuring that out, the more likely that the money is going to come to you or that the other resources you need are going to come to you that will easily allow you to achieve everything else that you're interested in achieving.
Right. And not imagining it coming in, but living as from that point of you already have it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's a very significant piece. And when you talk about your miraculous transformation, you at first, before you really got the transformation, were imagining yourself going from the wheelchair to the walker to the crutches and to walking. And then what you discovered is you needed to go from just imagine yourself in with all of your senses what it feels like and looks like for you to walk and to move freely, even though at the time you were in the bed.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that's a thing where people go, well, I'm imagining what it's like to get that much or to get that outcome, but not what it's, instead you want what it's like to be that outcome.
Really good distinction. Really, really good distinction. If it's not something that you're seeing as if it were real in the present moment,
right.
doesn't usually create that manifestation for you.
Right.
Another really good example of this, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, is one of my friends, Antonio Thornton. A number of years back, Antonio had just gotten engaged. His fiancée was pregnant. They were getting ready to get married and prepare for this baby, and he needed a certain amount of money to make everything work. So he started using a combination of a visualization and an affirmation to bring in a total of $10,000 in under 5 days so that he could make all of the other things that he wanted happen. He went to a friend of his who he knew had a much bigger list than he did, assuming that that would be the only way he could get this sum of money. So the friend said, you know, the way we can do it is we can do a teleconference. And if we do the teleconference, I'm sure that we can make $10,000 for each of us. So they set out to do that. And all the while, every single day, several times a day, Antonio's putting this affirmation out there about being grateful for having $10,000 as if it was already in his hands. And he was making one small mistake because he was being grateful for having a sum of money that was definitely over $10,000, but not an exact sum. He was simply looking at the things that he wanted to use the money to do rather than focusing on the amount of money. And an interesting thing happened. Not only did they bring in that $10,000 that he thought he wanted, but over the next 5 days, they went through three separate PayPal accounts because orders were flying in so fast. We're talking about a product that wasn't $5 or $10, it was over $500. By the end of 5 days, they brought in over $100,000 in new money that wasn't there when he first started 5 days earlier.
Sure.
The more he got all of his senses involved, even feeling what it was like to be there with his fiance at their wedding and what it was going to be like when they had their baby and all of the other things that that money was going to bring or make possible or make easier, the more he saw and felt and tasted and smelled all of it, the easier it was for the money to come in. And if you look at the marketing of what they did to bring in that money, you would swear, Rhonda, that it couldn't have brought in even more than $500 for one sale because it broke all the rules. The sales page was two paragraphs long. It didn't even have a headline on it. It had two paragraphs and an itty-bitty little call to action and an order button. That was it. It didn't have any graphics on it. It was just a white background with black text, not even in a table with a border around it, just black text on a white background, nothing more. The email that they sent out, it wasn't really an email that I would have expected to convert very well. His partner wrote it, and English wasn't her first language. It was her third, I think. And it read like it was written by someone with English as their third language. Shouldn't have sold very much at all. So in spite of all these things that weren't 100% perfect, here they go not just bringing in the $10,000 he thought he wanted, but 10 times that amount. And what that really says is even if you don't get all the details of how to do things perfect, if you really get the mindset piece that we're talking about today down, you're going to achieve huge results anyway, almost in spite of yourself.
Actually, focusing on the how is never the right action. It's always focusing on the result. And if that's the thing is I notice, people go, so well, how do I do this? I can't do this until I know exactly how. Everything's going to work out. Like for the next 5 years, every single blessed step. And it's like, no, that's not at all. There's no reason to worry about how. Because you'll either learn it, you'll find someone who knows how to do it, you'll hire someone to do it, it'll happen, whatever, it will get done. You don't have to worry about how, especially when it comes to the really big stuff. You leave that for the fact that every human is connected to every other, and it will all work out when you just trust. It doesn't have to be focused at all on how something's going to happen, just that this is the reality, not that it's going to happen, but here is the reality, and this is it.
It's funny that you say that because I'm assuming this, and maybe I'm wrong, but are you thinking about the Saturday morning mentoring call this past week?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was thinking about that. And I was not on for the entire thing, but when I got onto it and this person kept going, was all worried about how every step was going to happen. And it's not that that's the first person that has ever
There were three people early in the call who were doing the same thing. And
I missed that part.
I think my level of frustration showed through, and it normally is something that I don't allow to show through. But I was so frustrated because every single time a question got asked, someone was bringing up the how-to, which is not the thing that's going to really make them money in the end or allow them to achieve their goals at all. It's only when they really get into these other things that we're talking about, getting the mindset piece right and really moving forward, taking some itty-bitty little teeny-tiny action that sets the ball in motion, that all of this can be manifested easily. If you instead focus on, well, how do I do that? What's my first step? What's my second step? What's my third step? You're going to be so busy in the nitty-gritty details that you won't get that vision out there, and you won't be able to really feel that it's there already because you're hung up in the details. And the outcome is you're not going to make it to where you're trying to get in the first place.
You know, and why that is, as I've been thinking about that ever since that particular call, of this, the power of the how, that people feel like they have to know the how. Yes, and not only does it get you too into the details and not into the vision, I mean, it totally it separates you from your vision and from your passion. Because if you're worried about how do I, or why doesn't RSS feed work that way? Well, I don't really give a rip. As long, if I know that I do this and that X happens, that's all I need to know. I don't really care how it works. I don't know how electricity works, but I can turn a light switch on. I don't know how my dishwasher works, but I can run the dishwasher and clean the dishes with it. So why do I have to know exactly how every little thing is going to work, as long as I know that it does and I'll have the outcome? And what it also does is, I was reflecting on it, and I was reflecting on the book The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into the how, and he doesn't talk about this in the book, but this is just the connection that I'm making. But when you get into the how does this work? How do I do that? How do I get from here to there? What's going to happen? Well, then you get into a place of doubt, because you're in the lack. You're in the state of lack. And what Wallace Wattles, I'm going to read a short excerpt out of his book, is he says, never admit the possibility of failure, or speak in a way that infers failure is a possibility. Never speak of the times as being hard or of business conditions as being doubtful. So times may be hard and business doubtful for those who are on the competitive plane, but they can never be so for you. You can create what you want, and you are above fear.
Yes. Really, really good point, Rhonda. Really, really good point.
You know, I have this book sitting next to my computer at all times, and there are times I just grab it and open it up and read something, and I've read it through. It's dog-eared, underlined, and stars and all kinds of things all over this book. But it's such a great thing to get you into that headspace. And what I realized as I was contemplating what it is about the how that catches people up, I know that it gets you away from your dreams and everything, and that was really the realization, is it puts you, because when you worry about how, you get in a place of doubt. When you worry about how am I going to get money, X amount of money, how am I going to pay this bill, how am I going to do this and that in my business, how am I going to set up a blog if I don't know how to, or whatever? Then you get into a place of, well, I really doubt that it can happen. So I'm asking how, because I feel like if I just can know all the steps and know everything, and I'll feel better about it, and I'll realize it can happen. But that means you're coming from a place of doubt and fear.
How do you overcome the doubt and fear?
Practice, decision.
That's a good answer. I like that answer.
Practice and decision. And it's true. There is a lot of practice, just like anything else. How do you learn to walk? You practice. How do you learn to ride a bike? You practice. Our Olympic champion in men's figure skating this year is not necessarily the best skater, but he practiced the hardest, he was very driven, and he kept at it, and he deserved the medal that he won. But he wasn't necessarily the best skater in the world, as much as I love to watch him skate. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. A lot of it is just persistence and not giving up. And there are people who wonder how I do all the things that I do, since I don't see very well, and I do all kinds of things on the computer and you know, with my business. You shouldn't be able to walk because you can't feel your legs, but you walk. People wonder these things. Well, it's because you just don't put any room for the fact that it's not going to happen. And if you can do it in that area of your life, then, of course, you can do it with money or with any other area. And so that's why I say it's practice, because it's practicing being in a different mindset and catching yourself when you slip into doubt and going, oh, there's something I need to work on. Let me reconnect with the vision of appreciation, of growth, from I'm already in this place of tremendous abundance, of wealth, of prosperity, of vitality, of things being wonderful in life. Reconnecting with that vision, it's like plugging back into your source. Would you add anything to that practice and decision?
But I think practice is one of the things that really has to have the greatest emphasis. The decision has to be something that you're firm about. It can't be a wishy-washy kind of thing. It wouldn't work if you said, well, I think I want to do that. It's not very much decisive.
That's not a decision, though. Yeah.
Correct. But once you have that decision, the practice part is the biggie.
Right.
The movie The Secret really opened the world's eyes to the whole concept of manifesting your own destiny and the law of attraction and whatever else you want to call it. But it missed the boat in one piece, I think, in one part. In the movie, they basically made it sound like you could just go out and say, I have $100,000, and voila, $100,000 would drop out of the sky into your lap. It doesn't work that way. What it really requires is a kind of practice, but a specific kind of practice. So, number one, you need to put the intention out there, and you do that in the way of an affirmation that's stated very much in the present tense. Number two, once you've got that affirmation or the intention out to the universe, that's when it's time to start really using what you know to put intention to do the visualization part in as much detail as you possibly can. And while you're doing that visualization piece, you then also need to take some action. What I know is that there are going to be lots and lots and lots of different actions that you can potentially take that could all lead you down to the same outcome. But from one action to the next, some will lead you down a longer, bumpier path. Some will lead you down a smoother, shorter path. The one that you choose is intuitively going to be based on how passionate you are for what you're trying to achieve. The more passionate you are, the more likely you're going to be to get that shorter, smoother path on the first try. The less passionate you are, the more likely you're going to go down a longer, bumpier path. And even though both paths lead to that same place, it really changes everything during the journey. That's where the practice part comes in. During that time that you're going down that path, you want to be practicing to see, is there some other small action that you could take that would then set that ball rolling down that path a lot faster or not bouncing up and down quite so much as it's going down. So that practice becomes important to really manifesting your outcomes in a quicker way, in a bigger way, and in a way that makes you feel more fulfilled. If you're not doing that practice thing, you can probably still get there, especially if you've got that really solid, abundant, positive mindset. But it may just take you a little bit longer, and you may have a few more bumps in the road on the way there. Does that make sense?
We don't need any more. We don't need adding more bumps. There are going to be some that come just for the fact of learning to be the best possible version of yourself. It's that kind of hero's journey thing that every human responds to and every human goes through, because it's nothing in life happens without there being some kind of growth, some kind of lesson. How hard it is and how long it takes you is definitely up to you.
Absolutely. I met someone at JV Alert Live this weekend who is an amazing woman. This woman has two PhDs, one in theology, one in nutrition. She's married. Her husband is serving time in Afghanistan right now in the military. He's actually really seeing action. He's not in some safe place. She lives up in South Dakota, I think, where she has a ranch. And she does all of the work herself in her husband's absence. I have no idea how this woman can do everything that she does. It just blew me away hearing about it. Well, over the last 6 months to a year, she's had one bad thing after another bad thing after another bad thing after another bad thing happen. And in her mind, she sees them as bad things. She doesn't see them as opportunities. Along your path, if you're going down a path that is longer, that is bumpier, you're likely to face similar issues to what she's seen happening, where you're going to experience things that will seem, quote-unquote, bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way that you can shift your energy so that they are no longer going to be perceived as bad, but actually seen as things that can help you get there even faster. Whenever those bad things happen to good people, it's a sign that there's a message trying to get into your brain that you're not hearing. Usually, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, sends you many different messages to help you find the shortest, smoothest path to lead you to the destiny that you really were born into. If you're closed or if you're not hearing fully that these messages are coming through and you're just kind of ignoring them and going about doing your own thing, the messages are going to increase in frequency. They're also going to increase in intensity. And they're going to feel even more bad. It's only when you can stop dead in your tracks and say, holy cow, I must be missing something. Hey, I hear you. I'm not sure what you're saying, but I'm open to exploring what you're trying to tell me and where it is that I should be and what it is that I should be doing. And if you really take the time to take that pause, to evaluate what that message is and keep an open mind and move forward in a way that has you really listening for the message, it doesn't usually take very long at all before the message becomes crystal clear in a way that not only allows you to start doing things a little bit differently, but that also brings you even bigger, better results, and sometimes even faster, too. We've talked before, Rhonda, about the story of going up into the Adirondacks a year and a half ago on our way to an event in Vermont where we were coming down this humongous hill, really steep grade, 2.5 miles long, and it was kind of drizzly. The roads were just barely wet, but it was fall, so leaves on them and everything else, and it was really slick. And at the bottom of this mountain, the road comes to a T. If you go straight, you end up at the bottom of Lake George, which on its banks is about 420 feet deep. You can also turn left or right. Those are your only options. We hit the bottom of that hill, or mountain, not hill, mountain, doing about 48 miles an hour in a motorhome, towing a vehicle. We're probably somewhere around 65,000 pounds. I mean, it is like a Mack truck or a locomotive truck, right?
Right.
Hitting the bottom of that mountain at 48 miles an hour, our only option should have been either to tip over or end up at the bottom of Lake George. But that's not what happened. We just went little bloop. We turned the corner as if by floating in midair, just pivoting, then setting
that
back down.
That might have been what happened.
I mean, it was so amazing how simple that turn was. We didn't even kind of falter or waver at all. It was just like, boop, we're there. We were so shaken up that we had to stop by the side of the road, even though it was raining, get out of the coach and just sit there and hold each other for about 20 minutes just to calm down because we were really a wreck after this. Now, by most people's That's a bad thing, right? We almost died. By my standard, it was, uh-oh, must have been missing a message. Sorry about that, but I'm listening now. And sure enough, all of a sudden the phone rings. It's a person that I've been trying to connect with for months. Didn't even realize that this person lived right in the area that we happened to be in. And because of this particular incident, I was able to both get the call and meet with the person face-to-face, even though we hadn't been able to connect for months. We've been missing each other's calls all over the place. And within 36 hours-ish, it turned into almost $30,000 that otherwise would never have happened. If we hadn't had that experience and continued down the road, there was no way we could have turned around when the phone call came in 15 or 20 minutes later. We would have been in an area where there wouldn't have even been a cell signal, so it would have been unlikely that I would have gotten the call in the first place. And who knows how much longer we would have gone missing each other, leaving messages one after another, playing phone tag. But because I really listened and heard that message, I didn't even have to answer the phone. And a lot of times I don't answer the phone when we're in conditions like that. What made me answer at that time? Who knows? Probably because I was more open to hearing something and I wasn't going to miss it. So
you had just gone, okay, God hit you with the side of a barn. You're like, okay, I guess I'll listen. What?
You know, got it, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know what? When people have dreams that are either recurring dreams, when you have nightmares or dreams that are about disasters or things being really shaken up, if you dream about those things, I mean, it's the same type of thing. If you have a recurring dream, it means that universe, God, whatever you want to call it, is trying to give you a message and you are not hearing it, because if you were hearing it, you wouldn't continue to have the same dream. And a lot of times those recurring dreams for many people are recurring, but they're not really pleasant. Well, then ask, what is this dream trying to show you? And look at what happened the day or two before that dream again, and try to think back to the other times you've had those dreams. If you have them and you can go, well, every time I've had this dream, it's been such and such type of thing is happening in life. That is, again, you're being shown something where you can learn. And will you or will you not? That's really the choice. And it's the same thing whether it's about financial abundance, whether it's about connecting with people, receiving messages, whatever. It's really all just different ways of looking at the same type of message.
Exactly. And I think this is what differentiates those who are really multi-millionaires, those who are really successful in their business, and those who are really struggling, having been there for years and haven't even made four figures. It's the people who are millionaires, who are really successful in their business, have mastered the art of listening to those messages. Plain and simple. They also have mastered the power of putting the intention out in a way that has them stating affirmatively that they have it now. They've mastered being able to use visualization, and they know that they have to put the ball in motion themselves. They can't just for it to happen by magic.
Right. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
It's that, all of the things combined that make them successful in what they do. I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about what you're doing with the Dreams program from the School of Metaphysics. What else have you learned that could help us better understand how having a wealthy attitude could change our lives?
Okay, well, first of all, if anybody is interested in that, it's at dreamschool.org, dreamschool.org. They have a program that allows you to participate in it. It's over the course of a year. It's just a small fee to participate in it, and you get 52 weekly lessons, but they have some other things. They have some fabulous articles, and they also have each month there is a special topic, and there's a teaching by somebody who is a master of dreaming and has studied the universal language of dreams. So the interesting thing about dreams is they're universal symbols, and of course how everything relates is pertaining to you in your life, because every dream is always about you, the dreamer, no matter which people are in it or what's happening to whom or whatever. It's always about you, and it's always about showing you something that can empower you to learn. So when you look at your dreams, are you dreaming of lack? Are you dreaming scarcity? Are you dreaming abundance? You can start to look at those types of things. Like if you have a dream about a home or about a car, well, or even about how you're dressed. Are you dressed well and healthy? If you're in a car, is it an old beater that sounds like it's you have to kick it and finesse it and bounce in the seat just the right way to make it run, or is it in good repair? And the same thing for a home. Is it whatever type of home it is it in good repair? Is it falling apart? Things about a home will show you a lot about your mind. And things about a vehicle, car, plane, whatever, will show you a lot about your own body. And if things in your dream are in a state of disrepair, there's stuff wrong inside of your perception of what's happening. And so, you know, that's one of the biggest things about dreams that can help you with your own wealth consciousness and prosperity. Are you dreaming, if you're dreaming of disasters, and that was this month's topic, was about disaster dreams. And so if you're dreaming disasters, you know, a lot of times if you're dreaming about a tornado, that can be confusion inside of you, spinning around in circles is what the air in the tornado is doing. So inside of your mind, there's something that you're confused about. You know, if something is burning down, that tends to be a transformation. And what always rises from a place that's burned down is whatever grows is new and stronger, but it's just very different. So those kinds of things, dreams are not meant to frighten you and to turn you away from what you're doing. They really can teach you quite a lot. And so there's no reason that you couldn't, before going to sleep, tell yourself, I'm going to remember my dreams, or even ask for, I want to remember a dream. I want there to be a dream that will teach me something that will improve my wealth consciousness, for example, or whatever it is that you're working on. There's no reason you can't implant that into your mind and focus on it before sleep, and have something to write on and with right by the bed. So when you do wake up with a dream, you'll be able to write it down immediately, so that, number one, so that it doesn't escape, and number two, so that you don't start editing the dream and making it turn out the way you think you want it, or changing elements in your waking life as you talk about it. Sometimes people kind of inadvertently reinvent or reshape the dream.
I would definitely agree. Wow, that's really fascinating, Rhonda.
Yeah,
I'd love to learn how to do those same types of interpretations myself.
Well, you can go to dreamschool.org, and I'm really looking into taking their dreamologist program because I'm so fascinated with it myself. And what's funny is you'll notice the minute you start saying, oh, I'm studying dreams, or I had an interesting dream, people will then automatically start telling you about theirs, and you get such insight into people. And what I'm expecting is as I learn to understand more and more about it, I have all kinds of insights into people that they didn't know they're revealing because of what the dream shows, you know. So.
Absolutely. You know, it was funny, last night I went to dinner with best-selling author of the book Conversations with Millionaires, Jason Omon, and the JV manager for Keywords Spy, Mike Evans. We're sitting at dinner last night, and there's this table, a couple tables away. There must have been 15 chicks, all of them like 21 to 28 years old, all of them blonde, all of them look like they're showgirls because they have such perfect figures and they're so poised. And there's this one guy that's in the table with all of these girls. And
wow,
both my
lucky
husband,
man.
That's what my husband and the other two guys kept saying, and they were kind of joking around about it. And the conversation started turning to ways of picking up chicks and info products that could teach that. And I really had never thought about these techniques that they were talking about to pick up chicks, but apparently there is a book out about this deck of cards that allows you to read palms, that is supposedly a great chick magnet because you got to read her palm and compare it to the the deck of cards so that you can tell her what her palm says. So that was one of them. I forget what Mike Evans had said. Do you remember, Bill, what was Mike's idea, the other one, about a technique to pick up chicks?
I had no idea.
Oh, he has another one that he's writing a book on that's all about a technique to pick up chicks. And it kept making me think about the same thing that we're talking about right now and how what you do can allow you to attract different things back. And I see someone who just put their hand up in the queue. Is this Nan by chance? I see. Is this Nan? Hello, Nan. Are you there?
5-1.
I will re-mute the caller. Nan, if that's you, we're not hearing you. We're just hearing a bunch of static, so I'm going to go ahead and re-mute you. But if that is you, you might want to hang up and call back and raise your hand again, and I will gladly unmute you because we've been looking for you.
Yes. She just dropped off, so maybe she'll come back again. I'll
keep
my eye open. Yep.
Her hand just went up, so she hadn't been there for very long.
Nan, is this you?
Yes, hello?
Hello,
Nan,
how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, my goodness, ladies, I cannot apologize to you enough. My assistant mixed the time up, and you're an hour ahead of me, and she put me down for being on your show at 1 o'clock my time, but it was 11. And I was sitting around getting ready and looked at your show, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I've never missed it. I apologize so much.
Well, that's okay. We've been talking about the topic, so it just means that we have a lot less time with you than we otherwise would have. But we've been covering the topic a little bit in your absence, so I'm very glad to have you here now.
Oh, I don't even know what to say. I apologize. So I'm here. If you still want to talk to me,
still want to talk to you.
Yeah,
we've been looking at the book, Already Rich: Secrets to Master Your Money Mind, and we've been talking about what it takes to have an abundant mindset that can allow you to attract wealth into your life. But I'd love to hear from you what you teach and what you know about having a money mind.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a lot of things. Unfortunately, I haven't been in on the conversation you've been having, so I don't know if I'm repeating anything, but, you know, Well, one of the reasons that I call my book Already Rich is because what I've realized after years and years of studying energy and mindset and how we work and how the universe works and all of that is that every possibility already exists in this moment. And so one of the powerful things we can do to use our mind is to accept that there is a wealthy us, there is a loved us, there's a healthy us, there's a version of that of us that exists already in this moment. And if we're not experiencing it, it's because we're not focused on it. We don't believe it. We have beliefs that are limiting us from being able to see it or access it. And so what I find with a lot of people, is that they have when they use affirmations or they use different techniques to get their mindset in the right place, they have that internal thing going, yeah, but that's not true. You know, they say, oh, I am this. I am wealthy. I am happy. I am, a money magnet or whatever it is. And there's a part of them that kind of goes, ugh, you know, that's not true. And I'm stating something that's not true. And that's really a very powerful belief. You know, most of us in the world were raised to be honest, good people. And so what we have to recognize is that that's a part of us. That is also a part of our subconscious. And our subconscious is also in our body. It's in our cells. It's in all the parts of us. So when a lot of people have an issue with that, they say, well, affirmations don't work or statements don't work because I'm, you know, attempting to say something, claim something that's not true right now, and that's not a good thing to do. So when you understand, though, that there is a wealthy you that already exists, there is a you, any version of you that already exists, and that all you're doing is choosing to focus on it now, then you can really accept that you're no longer lying, so to speak. You know, you're no longer making this up. And so a lot of times, that shift right there really helps. And then understanding that when you get to the point where you can think what you choose to think, no matter what is going on around you, meaning even if there's drama around you, or even if the appearances of
right.
what's in your bank account or whatever isn't exactly what you want, you can still choose to focus on that, you know, I have $2,000 in my bank account, even if you have $60 in your bank account, you know, or whatever it is. And the really, one of the most powerful things I think to understand and really get this at a deeper level, because we hear about it a lot with law of attraction, but understanding that the universe always says yes to what we ask for. And the then where we are is we need to connect with that, you know, fill that gap by really feeling what it's like to have it. And so when we say, I have $2,000 in my bank account, and I actually did this when I went through my divorce. It was dragged on for 3 years, and in the end, everything was gone. So
wow.
Yeah, and I thought I was set for life. I owned 89 properties, and I was a real estate investor, and I just, you know, I really thought I was set for life. I had the big giant house and all the millions and all that kind of stuff, and in the end, everything was gone, and I was like, how on earth did I end up here? And so, you know, I was one of these people who laid awake at night thinking, how am I going to pay the bills, you know, and how am I going to do any of this? And I would sweat all night long, and I would worry. And what I realized and what I really got at a deeper level was, if I laid there for 2 hours wide awake, just terrified, you know, feeling that fear moving through my body, just thinking, okay, how am I going to pay the rent in 2 weeks? And I would attempt to visualize positive things, and I would say positive affirmations to myself, but the feeling wasn't there because the fear was so predominant within me. And so it was about learning to calm myself, to actually invite in that feeling, whatever it was, fear, terror, anger, you know, we have all these emotions around money, and just keep inviting that in until I could get a sense of peace of inside of me, in my body, in my emotions, and get calm, because when we resist that, it sticks with us. So we don't want to suppress our feelings, even though we know that having supposed negative feelings is not good for manifesting. We don't want to suppress them or ignore them, though, because they get stuck in our energy field. So accepting them and allowing it to move through you until you can feel that their power is dissipating, and then really tapping into, okay, I know if I had two, this is what I used to affirm, because I was like, okay, I need $2,000 in 2 weeks to pay all my bills and my rent. So I'd go, okay, if I had $2,000 in my bank account right now, how would I feel? Would I be laying awake at night scared? No, I would feel this way. And I would just keep moving into that feeling until I could literally feel it inside of me. And I had a day that was phenomenal where I sat throughout the night. I was thinking this. I was working on just accessing that feeling, seeing myself writing the bills, seeing the money coming from anywhere. I didn't care where it came from. And I woke up the next morning and I had, I think it was $470 had come in from selling some different things. And my partner at the time that I was living with got a $2,000 client that day. And it was, you know, that was an enormous shift. That was like a miracle as far as I was concerned, you know. That was how powerful it was. But so really getting to where you can get control of, that's why I call mastering your money mind, is getting control of what you think and how you feel despite what's real, quote unquote, around you.
Amanda, well, this is Rhonda, and I wanted to highlight something that we were talking about earlier, is that you said that you were lying awake going, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to get my bills paid? we had a conversation a little earlier as part of our show that so many times people get caught up in the how, and how using the how, worrying about how leaves you in a state of fear. You just illustrated exactly the point that we were talking about. And in letting yourself move away from worrying about the how, and letting the emotions go pass you by like they're just leaves floating on the wind or whatever, and then getting yourself in a place of power, that meant you weren't worrying about the how anymore. You were in the place of power of creating, and that was a big shift. So that's something I just wanted to highlight, because we had talked about how worrying about how puts you in the sphere and it puts you out of your flow.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the question I get a lot is, you know, if I'm working at a job as a cashier or whatever, and I'm making $7-$10 an hour, there's only so many hours I can work. How can I get rich? How can I get out of where I am? And again, you know, the how. And, you know, what we want to do is get to where we can actually bring in the feeling that we understand it can come from anywhere in an instant. And it doesn't have to come through a job, you know, or the job that we have. And that things can change in a moment, you know, a new opportunity can open up. You might, you know, you could be working your job at $7 an hour and keep that because, you know, you need to pay your bills. But you could, you know, say, well, what's my real passion? And that's why I do help people, you know, understand their soul purpose. Because when we really tap into the talents we have, the purpose we have, the perspectives that we have, then we can start to tune into that. And when we draw in what's passionate for us, it opens up all kinds of doors that don't follow that logical mindset of this is where the money comes from. So one of the things I work with people is understanding it can come from anywhere, in any form, at any time. But if you don't believe that, you've shut those doors down.
Yes. Gina, it sounded like you had something you were wanting to contribute in there. What's going on in your mind?
You actually covered exactly what I was going to cover, Rhonda, so good job. So the question that I hear often is, okay, this stuff is all great, but how do I start using it if I've never used it before?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, I was just having a session this morning with a lady who's got so many things happening in her life, and so the first thing was, you know, there's just chaos. You know, there's the kids.
Yep, I hear the same thing all the time.
You know,
yep,
there's the bills and the job and the kids and the this, and how do I whatever. And so, you know, we just backed out of all this chaos into, okay, the simplest thing to do is to start by putting yourself first. And how do you do that when you have two kids and blah, 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 blah? Well, you create time for yourself, and then you look at and say, how can I support myself? So, yes, I have to be here for my kids. I have to go to my job. I'm a wife. I'm a this. I'm a that. But you know what? We can't be fully effective. We can't be fully present in anything that we do unless we take care of ourselves. And I know I'm the queen of this. I spent my entire life, you know, almost my entire life putting everyone else first. And I was lucky. I had a lot of energy and I could go, 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 go. But eventually you can't. So backing out time for yourself. Just to be, just to think, meditate. I can't think of anything more powerful, and it's free, than to meditate, even if it's 5 minutes a day, because it gives you so much clarity. It gives you so much peace of mind. It makes you be able to handle stress better. And taking time for yourself, supporting yourself, how else can I support myself? And then allowing the clarity to come from there. The other thing that I really recommend to people is something really simple I learned from a teacher many, many years ago, and it was simply to start asking yourself, who am I? And allow the answers to show up in your daily life, just, you know, every day, a couple times a day. Who am I? Who am I? And especially as adults, you know, we get caught up in playing all the roles that we have and wanting success for our business and wanting more clients and all this stuff, and we lose track of who we truly are. And we always hear, you know, when you do what you love, the money follows and all that kind of thing. And it does, because when we tap into who we are, then we're making decisions based on what aligns with us, what's passionate for us, what's easier for us, what taps into our talents. And then we can make choices based on what's best for us, and it makes things flow better, and we see results more quickly.
Really great suggestions. I don't want to get too close to the end of the show without mentioning where people can find your book. So, Rhonda, you want to do
right.
the honors of that?
Yes. Yeah, so well, first of all, I want to mention that the blog is at, Create Your Own Reality Now. And then, Nan, what is the site for your book? Is that Master Your Money Mind?
No, it's SecretsToMasterYourMoneyMind.com.
SecretsToMasterYourMoneyMind.com.
Okay. Yeah, and we still have up there, if people buy the book probably through this week, we still have up there all the specials that are going on. So when you go there, you'll see all of the gifts. There's 70 or so gifts you get when you buy the book, as well as on the 21st, I'm going to do a drawing. So if you do buy the book on Amazon, make sure you go back to that site and put your name in to get your gifts, because we're going to do a drawing, and I'm giving away free wealth coaching, 6 different sessions, tickets to my next class, which is about transforming your beliefs that are limiting you around money, and audios and DVDs and magazine subscriptions and all kinds of goodies. So there's a lot of great stuff there to get, and you still have
and
some time.
There's a gift from me, too. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there's a gift from me there, too. And congratulations on being a number one best-selling author. That's so exciting.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's been exciting. It's a fun ride, and now it's like, what's next? What do we do from here?
I know.
So.
Yeah, that's always the case. So it's next. Okay.
How long did it take you to get to bestseller status?
Well, what we did was we did an online book launch, and so it took us 2 months, about 2.5 months, where we worked on that launch. We gathered together people like Rhonda who wanted to support the launch and give a gift, and so that takes 2 to 3 months to do that properly, and then we got that all together specifically for a particular date, which was last week on the 11th, and we do our best to coordinate everything into that date and see if we can get as many people to buy around this time. So people started mailing their lists late on Monday night, and when I got up in the morning on Tuesday, was at number 9 already, and I think it was by 11 o'clock or so that we hit number 1 that day. So, and we're still floating right around in there. We go up and down between number 3 or 4 and number 2 right now. One of my thrills was Louise Hay was number 1 in that category when I started, and I passed her up for a while, and she's one of my idols. So I was like,
you held it for an hour. That's very, very cool. I know I was really excited. She and Nan and I were emailing back and forth a little bit during that day, and I was like, oh, you're number 3 now. And then she did an email because I was kind of watching it. Every so often I'd go look, and I'd say, oh, you're number 1, yay. And she goes, I passed the Louise Hay. It's like, I know, it's really cool, you know.
Yeah, it was really fun. That was really fun. And we have all the screenshots of that. So, you know, it's something we'll be able to see. But, you know, you guys talk about relationship marketing, and that was all about that. That success was 100% because of that, was, you know, reaching out to people who, you know, have similar ideas and similar passions, and, you know, getting together and having this enormous group of people, you know, agree to all support you in the same way, and it's sort of a win-win for everybody. So it's a fantastic thing, and the internet has just created business in such a new and fun way now for us to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. It really has, and it's so powerful, and the thing that makes it really amazing is the fact that for the readers get so much out of a book launch when you do it the way that you've done it.
Yeah, I mean, you think about the cost of a book. This book is $20 plus little bit of shipping, and you know, you think what else in the world you get for $20. You know, you just the books are still phenomenal value, and then when you combine it with all of this other stuff that you get for these book launches, I think it's wonderful. I hope that it's something that continues to work, because it does bring people a lot of value, and certainly for me, I've bought books that were promoted this way that I never would have been aware of, because I'm busy and I'm not, like, you know, reading the newspaper or doing anything where I tap into knowing what's new. So it's wonderful. I think it's really great. And then, you know, I'm a big believer in energy and momentum, and creating that momentum, having that focus, me and, you know, my assistants and my fabulous and incredible webmaster who, you know, formatted the book and did all the websites and all of that stuff. Just having all these people focusing their attention on it creates a momentum and an energy that I think is very hard to do, and that's the beauty of getting together. And social networking is also very, very powerful in that, too.
Well, that's fantastic. Rhonda, what else do you want to know about Nan in the last couple of minutes here on the show?
Wow, well, there's just tons. I mean, maybe we'll have you back because we didn't get you very long today. That would be
fun.
I love that. Thank you.
I would love that. You know, because it's really fun. I have one thing I just want to mention. I love working on the book launches of other people. And in most cases, like you, I've never met you. I may or may not have ever found out about your book, you know, if not for the launch. And it's fun because you get to see how everybody's pulling together to make something happen. No matter who you are in your business, that is what you need around you, of a team like Nan is talking about, who are working together, not just because, oh, they're putting in something to grow their own list or whatever. But for me, if I put my energy into to prosper the author and I meet a really cool person in return, it's been so much fun to get to know some of the authors whose launches I have participated in because of that. So, Nan, if you just, since we only have a couple of minutes, what is the most important thing that you can share with someone where they can completely transform the way they think about prosperity and wealth right now? What would that be?
Well, I think it would be to choose to believe that you're worth it. You know, money, the longer I work, you know, I've worked with people in every area of their life, and several years ago I started to focus on the aspect of wealth and money because it's so tied up with our self-worth, our self-esteem, our self-image, and what I call our wealth image. Can you see yourself as somebody who is wealthy, who deserves to make more money, to do what you love and make money, to allow money to come to you, to allow people to give you to you, allow people to support you the way that people supported my book launch? You know, that was something that probably 20 years ago I couldn't have done. I wouldn't have had the confidence or the courage or believed in myself enough to ask and to accept that. So it really, your prosperity is tied to how you view yourself and what you believe is possible for you. And so starting there is the most important thing you can do. Now, you know, I'm a big believer in identifying limiting beliefs you have around money and clearing those, and we do those in sessions, and I've got a class coming up for that and everything. But if there was one thing to do, it's to simply start to see yourself as somebody who not only deserves to have the prosperity that you desire, but it is your natural state. And I'm a firm believer that is what we're all meant to do, and that it's right there waiting for us. You're not taking away from anyone else by asking for what it is that you want and allowing it. You know, some people spend a lot of time working hard and asking, but then when it comes, they don't receive it because of that worthiness. Mm-hmm. So shifting your self-image and seeing yourself as somebody who money can come to you from anywhere. Money can come without hard work, and people do support me, and I can accept it.
Well, thank you so much, man. We really appreciate that. Rhonda, get back with you and see if we can get you on the show again in the next couple of weeks. I love this topic. I can't wait to check out your book. And again, congratulations on getting the number one best-selling author status. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And again, I apologize, ladies. I appreciate it so much.
Well,
no worries. Things happen.
We'll be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I'll be calling in live from either Atlanta or South Carolina. I'm just not quite sure which one, but it'll be one of the two. And Rhonda will be back with us, and we'll have another guest on the show. So join us next week for Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. In the meantime, if you aren't a part of the Directions University 30-Day IM Challenge, remember that in just a couple of weeks, the all-new 30-Day Passion Challenge gets kicked off. And you can get in on the IM Challenge now so that when the Passion Challenge comes out, you'll be completely ready to go. So join us at 30dayimchallenge.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you all next week.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101.